This is Peggy, and I don't know your home group. She didn't know she was.
My home group is First Stop. Leave my glasses on. Yeah, that's one of my home groups. I have a couple. I move around. Yeah, I wasn't prepared to be first, but it's an honor to speak. I know I say that, my stomach doesn't feel that, the rest of my body doesn't feel that. I don't enjoy doing this, but John asked me to speak last weekend at the regional office, and my first thought is to say no. But I know it's one of the things that I have to do to give it back. And this is odd. it's kind of nice. This is the first time I've been here. You have to bear with me, because I thought about self-acceptance a lot since last week, and I thought how much it's changed for me, how much different it is, and how when I first got here, I beat myself up for a whole lot of stuff. I didn't accept anything. I think of myself today as, I've always been a fighter. I've always had an attitude. I've always been angry. But since I've come to the rooms, I've learned different ways. I've learned to accept that is my first feeling, is I get pissed off. I'm a fighter. There's this little girl inside there that is just fighting a lot. And I've learned through the years of taking care of her and letting her fight when she needs to. And those of you that know me know that I tend to voice my opinion when I see fit. But one thing, this past week I've been noticing how, I don't know if it's just that I'm getting older or what, or that I've, been here a few days, that I kind of have been trying really hard to sit back, listen, pay attention to what's going on inside me. And, because life has a lot of things that are hard to accept thrown at you. And, I guess I started to think when I first got here that once I got clean, I was going to start paying my bills, I was going to start having money, things were going to be good, life was going to be wonderful. I wasn't going to hurt anybody, I wasn't going to mistreat my children, respect my husband, do all those good things. And, and that takes a lot of time and practice. And that hasn't come easy either. It seems weird having this smoke out here in front of me. I bear with me. It seems like any time that I talk to my higher power and there's something that I'm thinking about, and I've been thinking a lot about self-acceptance and self-love and honoring myself, taking care of myself. And it's always funny how, when I pray for patience, I'm put in traffic jams. I'm put in places where I have to practice it. And it seems like in the last week, I've been noticing situations around me that I have to accept. And, it's not always easy. I don't always, if they would just do the way I want them to do it, life would be so much easier. And, and it's difficult at times. I'm pretty scrambled. Tom, I'm looking out at you, and you're just like one big puff of smoke. That's okay. You can stay there. I feel like I can't get away from the sun. Okay. Geez, I'd have rather have gone second. But anyways, I heard a lot of good things. I was in a meeting down below, and I was sitting there thinking, Karen spoke, and she was talking about, you know, like coming here and being so afraid, and today how she is with reaching out to the newcomer and trying to remember that feeling of fear and all that confusion when we first get here. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking how that's an area that I still am trying to work on. I've gone through times in my recovery where I'm right there at the door greeting the newcomer, and through the years I've pulled back from that for whatever reasons, self-protection. You know, I didn't come in here brimming with love. I didn't come in here I don't want to be here. I just wanted to stop hurting people around me. I didn't want to be sick anymore. I didn't want to have to do the things I had to do. So it's been real difficult over the years to open myself up to people. They say some are sicker than others. I guess I'm one of the sicker ones, but I still don't put myself out there as much as some. But I can accept that about myself because of my past. And I'm not just okie-doking it. I'm allowing myself those feelings and trying really hard to work towards, trusting others and opening myself up. Sometimes it's you open yourself up, I've been hurt and by people in these rooms. And sometimes, you know, we're rough. We are rough. And I can say that because I have been rough on people, relapsing and, you know, just different things that we do here. And the one thing that I'm really trying to do is, you know, like, I believe I came from two very critical parents. Not that they meant to cause any harm or anything. That's just all they knew. They did what was done to them, and, you know, and the cycle goes on. But through time, I've seen that, you know, criticism and telling people, you need to do this, you need to stay away from him, and you're a newcomer, and you need... I think at times, and I'm saying this about me too, is mainly me, is that I've been critical and with women I've sponsored, and if they're with a newcomer, or if they're with... And you know what? Today I'm trying to love unconditionally. And you know what? That might be their journey. I know I've made a lot of mistakes here. The one blessing is I haven't used. I keep coming back. You know, they, in the earlier meeting, they were talking about quitting home groups and moving on. I have had so many home groups, personalities. And I don't make up stories saying why I leave. I come right out and mother F, and I mean, I, you know, not that I'm proud of it. Like I said, there's that little girl inside of me that's still fighting. And, you know, through time, I've been able to nurture her, accept her, love her, and in doing that, and this has been a very slow process, I've been able to accept you and your character defects and your ways of being. Today I just try to, you know what, I don't get to as many meetings as I used to. I have a few that I go to on a regular basis. I'm still involved in service. That's one part of my recovery that I am not letting go of. I just had a friend ask me if I have a life. And yes, I do have a life, for any of you that wonder. And that's part of my life, is service. And I feel like I can't ever give back to this program what's been given to me. Never. And if I have to serve the rest of my time here, then so be it. And for those that aren't happy with me still being in a service meeting, still voicing my opinion, still in there fighting at times, you know, talk to your sponsor. I feel like, you know, when you're afraid to, like, I've been around a while. I have seen people that I never thought would use. Scares the shit out of me. I pray every day to stay focused, to stay here. I don't want to have to pick up another key tag. I did that. I suffered enough. I don't want to have to do it again. And since I've been here, I've had a sponsor. I go to meetings. I work steps. I sponsor people. I've been involved in service since I got here. Thank God I was with a group of people that's what they did. And that's what I was taught. And that's what I still do. I still go to meetings. I still have a sponsor. I still sponsor people. I still pray. I still work the steps. I still write. I'm still in service because it's the one thing that I can give back. And I believe that you know, this fellowship needs some of the people that have been around a while. We also need a whole lot of new people. There's a lot of stuff that isn't getting done because people don't want to do it and to get involved because it's got a bad name. But it's a great thing. And I don't know why I'm on the service. Probably because we just had a little meeting, regional meeting, but I accept that about myself. I know that when I stop showing up, I hope that there's people out there that'll wonder where I'm at. I have a whole bunch of people that were here before me that I wonder where they're at, and I don't see them in meetings, and a lot of women. I mean, there's not a lot of women that were here before me still here. There's a few, and I cherish them. And, you know, I know I'm way off the topic. I hate topic meetings, but anyway. I am very honored that I was asked, and he did kind of give me an option, but I didn't want to self-will it too much. I just kind of took what he offered, the self-acceptance. But I accepted that I was an addict way before I even made it here. And I accept that I'm a good person, I'm a good mother. I mean, I know today through these rooms, and only through these rooms, and the women that have helped me and the men that have helped me, stay here, that I'm a much better person, and I'd like to thank you.
Thanks, baby.
Hey, Peggy. Our next speaker, even though he's from out there with them Cleveland Browns, Rome, he's still a good guy. He's my fellow brother in this fellowship. I heard his message before. It was a good one. From New Hope, I'll give you Bryce.
Thanks, Tom. Hi, family. I am an addict named Bryce. John actually informed me months ago that I was going to speak since he was working through programming. I didn't know exactly what I was going to speak on until about a week and a half ago. And he gave me a choice. And I said, it doesn't matter, whatever you'd like me to speak on. And he said, nah, go ahead. And I picked self-acceptance. And I guess there was a reason for that. I hadn't thought about self-acceptance for quite a while. And when I start taking things for granted, it can get me into trouble. So I dug out our IP and went through our Just for Today and glanced back through, and it took me back to a lot of memories. I've been doing a lot of thinking since I knew what topic I was going to have. As far back as I can remember, even as a child, I didn't accept myself. I heard somebody share at a meeting quite a while back about living in a fantasy world long before they ever picked up, and I realized that's exactly what I did, because I didn't accept myself. I'm an only child, so I spent a lot of time playing alone, whether it was with G.I. Joes or whatever. I wasn't Pat, you know. I projected myself as somebody else being Pat, you know. Wasn't ever happy. I, too, had critical parents. It was not their fault. That was the way they were brought up. And but I could not accept that at that time. Through early school, I was never the same. I was always different. I never fit in. And it really got to me. I couldn't talk to my parents. I couldn't share with them. If they told me something, and I asked why, it was because I told you to, and that was as much as it came. I don't know, like I said, it was before I even picked up. I was sharing with the addict last night, and I don't remember the last time that thought had come across my mind, but I was 14, early 14, and I was so unhappy with life because I was not accepted and did not accept myself that I actually I tried to commit suicide. We've got a farm, we've got guns, you know, and I knew how to use them safely. Well, I actually stuck a rifle in my mouth and pulled the trigger, but in some way maneuvering it around, I hit the safety. You know, my higher power's been working in my life long before I realized it. It was shortly after that that I started using, and it was to escape myself and make me not feel criticism from my parents, others, peer pressure through school, so on and so forth. I fit to a point with the people that used, not a lot, because there's a lot of people in school that were still social users. As soon as I started, I was not. They'd get mad at me if we were out, had a case or whatever. I got my share and part of theirs, and they weren't very happy with me there either. I struggled with acceptance, like I said, since I was a kid, right up to after I came into the rooms. I don't think I need to go into, you know, all the different people I portrayed when I was using. You know, if I was hanging with the bikers, I was a biker. You know, whatever, it didn't matter. I was good at, somebody said that one time about being a chameleon. You know, all because I couldn't accept myself. The process that, you know, got me here was due to part of that and my obsessive using compulsion. The when I got to the rooms, I actually wasn't sure that I had a drug problem, but I knew my life was unmanageable, and I found my way into rooms, and thank God for my higher power and the rooms at the way they are, because people accepted me for the way I was when I walked through those doors. You know, and I see that today, you know, whether you're physically clean or not, poor, have money left, have your family left or whatever, you're accepted into the rooms for who you are, and, you know, I'm really grateful for that. So like I said, they accepted me and loved me when I couldn't accept or love myself. And it was a long process. I struggled with early recovery for a long time. You know, I had a real great sponsor early in recovery, and he told me, you know, the only thing you need to change is everything. And, you know, at times, he was a good sponsor. He loved me, but with a tough love. You know, when he'd get tired of my BS, he'd tell me so. And he'd anger me, you know, and I started growing a little bit. I still struggle with my spirituality. You know, I'd had some contact with church and stuff as a youngster, but I'd long put him behind me. As I started going through the steps, and started accepting a higher power into my life. I still didn't really know what my higher power was, but, you know, I was becoming to believe in something out there. Excuse me. Things started to change. I started feeling a little peace within when I got real thorough in the first three steps. Then, you know, it was time for that fourth step, and that was a big one, you know, because I still struggled with having any good in myself. And my sponsor actually held me up on my fourth step because he knew I was too negative, and he was afraid that I'd go back out if I couldn't see any good in myself. And he kept me around for a while before he allowed me to go into my fourth step, and that, too, I'm grateful for. I started finding a few things, you know, that I did that was okay. I had carried a few morals, not many, with me. And he started pointing things like that out to me. And when I got into my fourth step and did my fifth step with him, it was a lot of freedom. I started to accept myself, you know. It said right in here, you know, we're sick people trying to get well, not bad people trying to get good. And, you know, that helped a lot. And then with the sixth and seventh, you know, the character defects and that self-acceptance, you know, was still struggling with it all the time. I was put in contact with some people at the right time, and they helped me with my spirituality. And I started getting a closer contact with my higher power. And I started becoming more happy with myself. Excuse me. You know, it's all a process. And as I got into the sixth and seventh steps, you know, it was good to look and how much I changed by then. I heard somebody speak in an earlier meeting, you know, that it's hard to see the change in ourselves, you know. Thank goodness other people are around here to tell us, and there's also, thank goodness, you know, there's people that tell us we still need to change. You know, after the sixth and seventh step, and then the eighth and ninth, we got to make our amends and stuff. You know, I started looking at things a lot differently. And the acceptance that I had to come from myself all had to happen before I could accept others. You know, and that was all a process. You know, first three of my higher power and starting to feel a little better. You know, and then getting that bad stuff out in fourth and fifth and looking at my defects and then doing the amends list and all and actually making the amends. Somewhere in there, it all just kind of started falling together with that self-acceptance. Because, you know, I was one of those ones that went to the meetings and to begin with, and I didn't look for similarities. I looked for all the differences. You know, I actually would look for people and something that they were doing that I didn't like. You know, it's just the way that I was. And, you know, thank God it's not that way for me today. You know, it's still hard for me at times, and I've got to look at myself when people are acting out. I've been around long enough now that, you know, it's hard for me to look back. And this was a good topic for me to look back and remember how sick I was and twisted. You know, and there's a lot of people come into rooms, and it's like, you know, they shouldn't be doing this. They've been around the rooms X amount of time and so on and so forth, you know. And I got to look back and realize the acceptance that was shown to me. And, you know, I have to show it to others. You know, it's hard. It's hard sometimes when you think things ought to be a certain way. You know, and I've got that self-will occasionally, and I've really got to sit down and pray about it. Is it my will or God's will? Excuse me. But, you know, like I said, it had to set me back when I looked at this. Like I said, it's not one of the things that I look at all the time, and it was time, because we've got a fairly new group started where we're at, and there's a couple people that, like I said, some character defects are shining through pretty much, and I'm having a hard time accepting that and putting principles before personalities. And, you know, the more I thought about this and the way I was, you know, it's really surprising that people allowed me to come to the rooms for a long time. There was many months. You know, it's great today not to have to put those masks on and be somebody that I'm not. As Peggy says, you know, I really don't care for topic meetings either. My strong suit seems to be working with individuals. Yeah, and then I don't have enough sense to shut up at all. topic meetings, like I said, aren't my strong suit. But it was, like I said, it was a process for me, and I've seen so many people change since I've been around, and you know, I'm just grateful for Narcotics Anonymous and the love and acceptance that was shown to me when I got to the rooms, you know, and I try to show that today. It doesn't always come through, and it's because I think, like I said earlier, I start taking things for granted, and I shouldn't do that. When I start getting comfortable or taking things for granted, you know, that's one of those warning lights that starts flashing. And it means I need to take a look at my program and what I'm doing in it. Because, you know, if I start, you know, slipping one part of my program, it's easy to let a little more slide by. And I don't want to go back to being that sick person that I once was. I mean, I've got a lot of changing that I still want to do and a lot of growth. You know, it's a program that you never graduate from, you know, hopefully. There's two ways out of it. You go back out using or die clean. And, you know, I choose to die clean. Hopefully I'm around for a little while yet. But, you know, I appreciate John for inviting me up here this year. He's a great guy to work with. I wish we weren't so far apart. I'd like to work closer with him because I like what he's got to say. We kept getting thrown together, and I really like his serenity and his spirituality, plus his willingness. Like I said, our group isn't very old, and John came out there when we were probably 4 months old, had about 8 members attending, and you know, he was willing to drive that 200-plus miles each way to come to a small meeting. And, you know, it's great to come out here. My fiancé came out here last year and did one of the workshops. I wasn't able to attend, and said how great it was, and the unity that was shown. And I can see that we got here early yesterday, and the unity is really fantastic here, you know, and I know that's what this retreat's all about. And I hope one of these days our area gets a little stronger unity. With that, I'm done.
Well, we have some time left. We want to open up for discussion. I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Can I have somebody read We Do Recover? Okay, how about just for today?
Thank you. Well, family, I'm an addict named Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Just for today, tell yourself.
Today.
My thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery.
Just for today.
I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability.
Just for today.
Through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life.
Just for today.
I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Bubba.
Thank you. A nice way of closing.